I'm just going to do a short little intro for the recording so that they'll, you know, when they go to play it back, let me move that a little bit, that they'll, you know, be set.
Yeah.
This is Jonathan Philpott. Today is February the 23rd.
No, John Tencher.
It's,
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's 9:43 a.m. and I'm speaking with John Tencher, who I believe it says you were a Marine in the South Pacific.
Yeah.
And we're going to talk about World War II. So I just want to go ahead and show you this. This is our release form. It basically just says that we can take the interview and put it in the Oral History Commission's archive. So we'll have you sign that after the interview.
Okay.
And if you don't mind, just tell us your name and date of birth and occupation, and then just introduce yourself a little bit.
Okay, I'm John Tencher. My birthday is May 16th. Before I went into service, I was a farming.
Okay. And so, what year did you tell me? We were just talking about it outside. What year did you go into the service?
1943.
Okay. Was that, did you enlist, or was it redrafted?
I enlisted.
Okay.
Well, the way it was, I was drafted in the Army, and a friend of mine went in the Marines, so they discharged me the same day, and I enlisted in the Marine Corps to go with him.
Okay. What did you know about the war in Europe, you know, before Pearl Harbor? Was that, you know, big news, or did you know anything about it?
Well, only what I heard on the news, and it wasn't at all that much.
Let's see, so I guess just if you could tell me a little bit about you know, what your life was like before you joined and then after.
Well, I was farming. I hadn't been out of high school too long, and I'd been married about a year and a half, and we had a son about 4 or 5 months old. I was only 19, I suppose.
Okay. Did you have any? Were you and your wife in agreement about you? You know, you. I guess you didn't have any choice if you were drafted to the.
No, didn't have any choice.
All right. Let's see. Can you tell me about boot camp? Where you went and what it was like and everything?
I went through boot camp at San Diego, California. And it was pretty rough. They cut the boot camp time by 2 weeks on account of needing the men overseas. And I left boot camp and went to Camp Pendleton, California.
Okay. How did you get there to the boot camp? Is that by?
We caught a train in Cincinnati, and there were several of us went together, and that's how we got there.
Okay. When did you? I guess as a Marine, when did you find out where you were going?
Well, we really didn't till the last minute, and they didn't tell you too much. They loaded us up. Took us out and loaded us up on the ships.
Okay. How long were you on the ship then?
Oh, let's see. We were on the ship about 5 weeks, I suppose.
What did they have you do?
Board ship, we still trained, took exercise, and things like that.
I just happened to see a thing the other day on television. Was it loud, you know, on the ship as far as...
Was it loud?
Yeah, like, you know, inside or...
No, not too bad.
Okay. So did you have a, I really don't know much about the Marines other than, you know, kind of what you see on TV, first yeah. ones there, last ones to leave. Did you have like an occupation specialty or anything aside from?
Well, when I, the first few months I was in, I went in an automatic weapons company, I was a machine gunner.
Is that like a belt-fed machine gun or?
Yes, 30 calibers, most of them I was with.
Okay, and so would as a machine gunner, would you carry that then, or set it up? On
yeah, you carried. I carried the barrel part of it, and an assistant gunner carried the tripod.
Well, I was going to say, we don't have to go through all these questions. You know, that's not set in stone or anything. They're just sort of suggestions. But
yeah.
One of them said, did you miss any events while you were gone?
We missed the county fairs and everything like that.
How'd you feel about having to leave your child?
I didn't like it.
I can imagine. I have a... 11-month-old, so I imagine it was hard. That was nice. You said he just took right back up with you?
Yeah, he took up with me just like he'd been with me all the time.
Okay, let's see. I guess it was quite a culture shock to get to the South Pacific.
Yeah. We didn't really know where we were going. And after we got aboard ship, we went to the Hawaiian Islands and took on some more stuff. And we went from there on.
It says that you were in 5 invasions. Can you tell me about those?
Excuse me.
Sure.
Yeah, I was on in the Marshall Islands. We invaded 2 islands, Roy and Namur. And then we invaded Saipan. And then Tinian and Iwo Jima.
Is that basically true that the Marines are the first ones there?
That's right.
How does that work? I mean, how do you? I mean, I guess it seems like a silly question, but how do you invade something? I mean, are you in a boat and?
Well, we went aboard troop transport ships, and then they had these landing boats on it. Stacked up 2 and 3 high, and then they would drop those overboard, and we would load up in them, and we would go in them for the invasion.
Okay. Did you have like resistance right on the beach?
Oh yes, yeah. Yeah, it was resistance all the way through until we got them all.
So did you actually have to, you know, fight and was there ever a point, I guess, like? That they gave up or
how? No, they didn't do much. They didn't know what surrender was, to tell you the truth. You had to eliminate them.
Did you, the reason I asked this, and another fellow I talked to mentioned it, did you have any feelings about that the rest of Europe maybe felt like the Americans couldn't fight, that kind of thing? Anything, did you feel like you had something to prove? Or?
Well, they figured we were a bunch of softies, but we weren't.
Why did they think that, do you think?
Well, they thought we all lived an easy life and didn't do anything like that. But when it come down to it, we did it.
Okay. Let's see. Could you talk about maybe a couple of your most memorable experiences? Can be good or bad, either.
Well, they were none of them too good.
I imagine not.
No. Yeah, it's been so long ago, and it was all bad. It wasn't good at all. We had to kill a lot of people, and of course they killed a lot of us. And I was just plain lucky that I didn't get it bad.
And did you get injured at all?
Yeah, I got my hips hurt. I had to have 2 surgeries on my right hip.
Okay, let's see. Everybody else I've talked to thinks this is a silly question, but I'll go on and ask it. Did you get any medals or anything like that?
No, I didn't get any medals. We just did what we had to do, and that was it.
Okay, let's see. Were you able to stay in touch with your family at all?
I would write them letters, and then they'd write me letters back, and we'd get a letter every few weeks. And of course, they got our mail out pretty good back home.
Were you able to kind of keep up with what was going on at home?
Yeah, pretty well. My wife kept in touch with me with letters and everything. She wrote me pretty regularly.
Okay, let's see. What would you put in your letters that you sent home?
You had to watch what you put in there, because they would cut most of it out if you told them anything that was going on. And you just had to tell them mostly that you were all right and you'd be glad to get home.
So if you put something in a letter that they didn't want you to say, when she got it, didn't have lines through it? Or
cut out. A lot of it was cut out, and a lot of it was eliminated with marking out, but most of it was cut out.
Okay. That's interesting. I didn't know they did that.
Oh, yeah. I had some mine cut out. That you couldn't tell them right at the time that you were going to invade a place. If you told them where you were going, it was gone. I mean, they didn't get that.
Was that they were just afraid the letters would be intercepted, or they didn't?
Yeah, well, they'd be waiting for us. They figured that the Jap Navy would be out there waiting for us.
Okay, let's see. Did you have a particular letter that you received that really stuck out in your mind?
No, not really. They were all about good. They just told us about what they'd been doing and what they'd planned to do and things like that.
Okay. Do you associate any smells or tastes with your time overseas?
Well, the smell of a dead person still sticks with you. They'd get so many days they would stink in that hot weather. And we had took bulldozers and built big long revetments and shoved the Japs in there, did Japs in there and covered them. That's all you could do.
Mm-hmm. That must have been rough. Did you have to do any of that yourself?
Yeah, I remember one occasion. We usually hook ropes or wires to their feet and drug them over to it. And I hooked this wire around one of them's foot and started dragging him, and the whole foot came off. And I didn't like that too much.
No, I wouldn't imagine. How do you just do what you have to do, or how did you deal with that kind of thing?
Yeah, you had to do it, so wasn't much you could do except get them buried. We were glad to get them buried because they sure were stinking.
Okay. Tastes, I guess. What was the food like while you were?
Well, we had plenty to eat, such as it was, C rations and K rations. And then finally there at the last, before the war was over, we got those 10-1 rations. They were good.
Could you explain what a C ration or K ration is? Like what would be in it?
Well, they would be these big hard crackers and a little can of some kind of meat. And that was about it. Three cigarettes. There were three cigarettes in it. They couldn't do that now, though.
Was it common? Did everybody smoke, pretty much?
Most of them did, yeah. I smoked, but I smoked cigars.
Were you able to get cigars at all?
Or? No, I took a half a box with me every time we went on an invasion. Because it took up so much room in your pack, that's about all you could take. And they didn't last too long.
Okay. What else did you, as far as room in the pack, what else did you have in there?
Well, we had an extra pair of trousers, dungarees, an extra shirt, a couple of pair of socks. And I usually put a couple of hand grenades in mine with it. And we didn't need all them clothes. It's going to get dirty the next day anyway.
Did the hand grenades, I mean, did you ever have to use them?
Oh, yeah.
Is there, let's see. What, you mentioned a 10-in-1 ration. What was?
Oh, they had cans of stuff like bacon and different kinds of meat. And I forgot what all they were, but they had cans, had them in cans. And it was rations for one meal for 10 men. And they were big cans. And it was pretty decent ration considering what we had been used to, you know.
Was somebody responsible for carrying that and giving it out, or did they?
Well, what they did, they had headed aboard these ships out in the harbor, and they would bring them in by the smaller ships, whether it was landed ships. They'd bring them in and stack them up on the beach, and then we would go down one or two at a time, pick up what we had to get, and then sometimes they'd bring some up to us.
So, were you ever, I don't really know a whole lot about military life, you know, it's much less during an invasion, but did you ever have sort of peaceful times? I mean, were you able to kind of eat in peace or anything?
Oh, yeah, there was times. You would stay on the front line so long, and then they'd pull you off and replace you with some other people, and you'd sit back there and take it easy and eat, but... you still would catch artillery and mortar fire back there.
Okay. It says, what was your supply situation like? Did you ever run short with that? Or?
Well, most of the time we had plenty of supplies. We didn't have much problem with that. The problem we had was getting them up on the front lines.
Whose job was it to do that?
Well, they had, I don't know what they called those boys. They would bring them up so far, and then we had to go back and get them. And we usually had plenty to eat, such as it was. And the light ship I was on, going to Iwo Jima, was one of the new troop ships. And we even had freshwater showers on it. First time we ever had a ship with freshwater showers. And it'd have showers one time a day. The other had salt water showers, not over rough soap you use like sandpaper. And it was the USS Hinsdale. And it got hit twice before we got off.
What was it hit by?
Well, we figured it was shore batteries. And one Marine captain was killed, and one sailor and some others wounded. But it was a good ship. I liked that one.
What rank did you have?
And I went to sergeant. In the Marine Corps, you don't get promoted a whole lot. It's, of course, the way you get promoted is when they get knocked off and they got to have a man replaced, and that's how a lot of, a combat zone, that's how a lot of them got promoted.
So,
a lot of times it'd be a corporal, a company commander, there'd be so many people knocked off.
So really you didn't want to be promoted?
No. We didn't want to be an officer at all. That was the first pick killed.
How did they, was there some visual way that they could tell who the officer was?
Well, they wouldn't wear their bars. But on the back of the dungaree, they had a semicircle, and it had numbers in the middle of it. And those numbers would detonate the rank that they had, like one PFC, two corporal, three sergeant, on up to captains and lieutenants. And that's, if they could see your back, they could tell you who you were.
So they caught on to that pretty quick.
Yeah.
Was that, was that in general fighting when a lot of that would happen, or did they have snipers?
They had snipers everywhere. And, of course, in regular fighting, they would have that.
Okay. Let's Well, did you feel pressure or stress?
Lord, yes.
I heard people say I wasn't scared, but I'm going to tell you, I was scared half dead. You never get used to that.
A lot of people say they weren't scared. Or
yeah. These were two things. They were either lying or they weren't there.
Seems about right, I'd say.
I know I was scared.
Was that something that you just... Was it kind of all the time, or was it, you know?
Oh, all the time. But you eventually get to, you don't really get used to it, but you get to where you just go along with it.
Okay. This is sort of a cultural question, I guess, but what was your favorite music during the war years?
I still like the old country music.
Any singers in particular?
No, not really.
Okay. Did you have any opportunity to, I mean, did you have, you know, get to listen to records or anything like that during your downtime? Or?
No, we, in the downtime, we were either training more or going to classes or something to, you know, still learn more about combat.
Was that all the were all the classes about combat?
Yes.
Did they teach you anything, I guess, about the Japanese in terms of how to fight them or anything?
Yeah, quite a bit of it was. As they learned, they would teach you and tell you about it, tell you what to expect and what to do when it did happen.
Okay.
They were tough little rascals, though.
Yeah, so... Was it hard to fight them or interest or I don't know really how to say what I'm thinking, but because they were so different from you, was that?
Yeah, they would have charges and they'd come right at you, and you had to kill them. Wasn't no way out of it. Of course, that was when they made those charges. That was to our advantage. You got rid of a lot of them. But they didn't worry about charging you. Know? You didn't scare them. I have to give them credit for that. And we didn't take a lot of prisoners. They wouldn't surrender. And on Saipan, they had them bottled up on the back upper end of the island. And they had a bunch of machine guns set up in case they tried to break out. And they did try to break out, and they just about slaughtered them all. And they had a bunch of civilians up in there with them, and they had told them what all we would do to them if we captured them. And they had women with little kids jumping over the cliff up there. They was afraid of us. They should know we wouldn't, though.
Did you see a lot of civilians then?
Yeah, quite a few on... there weren't too many in the Marshalls. Of course, the Marshalls was just two little islands. We thought they were bad, but they were a picnic compared to the others. But there was quite a few civilians on Saipan and Tinian. Iwo Jima didn't have a lot. And Iwo Jima was, they bombed and shelled that island for 77 consecutive days. And we thought it was going to be a pushover. It was everything but. They were underground like a bunch of moles. They, in Mount Suribachi, the extinct volcano, they even had an underground railroad. A little narrow gauge railroad. And that's, of course, on top of Suribachi is where they raised the flag.
Did that make fighting them different then? Could they move around?
Oh, yeah. You'd run them in a hole here and they'd come out over here. You could toss smoke grenades in there. Smoke would come out over here and over there. You thought they were going to smoke them out, but you didn't bother them. They were fixed. Iwo Jima was fixed for us.
How long were you there?
I think a little over a month.
So it took a long time to clear the
places
out?
They were tough little rascals, and you had to do it the hard way. We lost about around 7,000 men killed, and then I don't know how many thousand wounded.
Of the first two islands you were on, what made them so much easier than the other?
Well, to start with, they were smaller, and they didn't have as much equipment on it as they did on the others, I don't believe. And they didn't have many tanks and things like that, so we took those pretty quick. Roy and Namur, that was two islands in the Marshalls.
So as a machine gunner, did you basically set up sort of a nest then, or how would you use the machine
gun
in combat?
They would have them situated where there was different corners or different places, and they pretty well situated out where they could take care of them. And then when they got back to the average life of machine gunners, 8 minutes. And, excuse me.
Sure.
When I got back to the Hawaiian Islands after the Marshals, I got out of that outfit. I asked Colonel to get me out of there, and he said, I put you in the rifle company. I said, I'll take it over a machine gun.
So why was the lifespan so short?
Well, they threw everything they had at a machine gun. Artillery, mortars, and their machine guns and everything, but they were machine guns that didn't last long.
I guess this, so for a regular soldier then, this would be before automatic weapons then. Did you have, like, once you were in the rifle corps, is that like, what sort of weapon did you use?
Well, we had mostly M1s and carbines and BARs, and I had an M1. That old M1 was a good one. If you could see him, you could hit him. It was that accurate at a distance.
Did you have to do any more fighting once you were in the rifle corps?
Oh, yeah. I got out of that after the Marshall Islands. I had Saipan, Tinian, Iwo Jima in the rifle platoon.
Oh, okay. I see. So let's see. Kind of goes back to your life before you left. Did you have a movie that was your favorite before you left?
No, I don't think so. We didn't go to too many movies back then.
And how about a sports team?
Oh, I like Kentucky Wildcats.
Were you able to hear anything about them, you know, while you were gone? Or?
Occasionally we would, yeah. Some of them would write me a letter and tell me about it. I got several letters from home.
Did you have anybody else besides your wife that wrote you?
Oh, yeah, my mother and dad, brother, uncles and aunts.
Let's see. Was there anything that you did, you know, for good luck?
No, I never did believe much in good luck, but I was lucky anyway.
Okay. Yeah, how about any of your, you know, your buddies that you were there with? They have good luck charms of any kind?
Oh, yeah, a lot of them had good luck charms. Some of them had four-leaf clovers about tore up, and they carried them and different things.
Okay. What did you do when you got to go on leave?
Well, I just mostly rested. Tell you the truth, we were tired. When we wasn't in combat, we were training. And when you get a day off, you'd go downtown, eat a good meal, drink a beer, and I wouldn't drink one. That's all I'd drink. And then I always went out in the country, looked at the farming. I'd go to the pineapple fields, duck farms, and sugar cane fields. I enjoyed that out in the country more than most of them did. Of course, I was an old farmer to start with.
Did that remind you of home? Or?
Well, yeah, it was quite a bit different from our home, but I mean our farming at home, but it was, you know, similar as far as work goes with the vehicles and things.
Sorry about that. cell phone. I was keeping that on to keep up with the time. I have to make a note. And then the buzzing in the interview is the phone, but we'll put that somewhere else, so we'll do that again. Let's see. Were there any sort of humorous or unusual events? Did y'all play pranks on each other?
Oh, occasionally they would. They would tie your socks up and things like that. Put socks in your shirt. Something in your socks and different things. But it was all done in fun.
Was that mostly just to pass the time, or did people do things to sort of bring a prank on themselves, or how did that?
Well, it's already past the time, and you always want to do pull a prank on somebody.
Okay. What did you think of your officers and fellow soldiers?
Well, we had some good ones. They all stuck together and helped each other. The officers were good, and we didn't. I don't think we had any bad ones. Sometimes they made you do things you didn't really want to, but you can think about it later, it was necessary. Yeah, it was necessary most of the time.
Could you give me an example of something that, you know, like that?
Well, you could go up and try to find out where a sniper was or something like that, and you didn't like to do that, but still, it was necessary. Somebody had to do it.
Is anybody in particular you really thought a lot of?
Yeah, several. Several of them. I had a good friend of mine, named Zoni. We was together about all the time. And then, you know, I got one friend, and I can't think of his name. It's been so long. Dave Altman, that's his name, yeah. He was all right. He worked in the first sergeant's office, and when we had a rest period on Saipan, he would get me to go down to the division post office and have you get the mail and sort it and bring it up. And the next day, I was back up.
Okay, let's see. How did you feel about women in the military?
Women? Oh, yeah, we didn't have many. Military when I was in, and I really didn't think he belonged there, but I know now that they had jobs that they could do and needed to do that would save some men from doing it, like leaving for combat.
Right. How'd you feel about them working in the factories?
Well, it was necessary. They had to do it. They had to work. It wasn't enough men to go around. What was left was just kids, more or less, and old men. It's too old for the military, and they couldn't work like, you know, the younger ones did. But the women did a good job.
Okay. We're basically into these questions are sort of targeted for after your service time. Uh-huh. How long did you, we talked about it out there, but how long did you say that you were in total?
I was in from, 43 to 44, and 45. I came out in 45. I got discharged from the Great Lakes Naval Hospital in 45, I think it was October. Coldest place in the world.
Was that from your hip injury?
Yeah.
If you don't have to answer if you don't want to, but how did you get injured?
Yeah, I don't want to burn that top rack.
Okay, that's fine. do you remember the day the war ended? Both Victory and Europe Day. And
oh yeah, yeah, I remember that. I was in the hospital. I was running around on my crutches, and I threw one of them to celebrate. Somebody had to go get it for me.
Was that on, was Was that in Europe or Japan?
I was in Hawaii, I was in the hospital then. Yeah, that's where that was.
Okay. Let's see. Well, once you got out of the hospital, did you go back to work or?
Yeah, I went back to farming, tried to farm, and I had trouble with my hip. I had to do something else. So I got a job and left farming.
Where did you get a job?
Well, I got a job at, let's see, well, I worked for Kroger for a while, and I worked for the government for a while. I retired from the federal government. I retired on disability with that hip.
Is there anybody that you made friends with while you were in the service that you still talk to today?
No, I've lost the count of most of them. I was in Jerry's restaurant, I think it was. Anyway, here in Mount Sterling one day, and one of my best buddies came through. He was from New York, and I ran into him, and that's the only time I ever saw him or got to be in touch with him. And there was another boy out here at Camargo somewhere. He drove one of the boats that took us in for the landings, and I ran into him a couple of times, but outside of that, there wasn't too many of them left.
Okay. Well, given where we are, this is sort of a silly question, I guess, but did you join a veterans organization?
Oh, yeah, the DAV and the American Legion. See, it seemed like it was three American Legion, DAV. Anyway, I belong to those now. Been in there a long time.
Did you join the VFW?
Yeah, that's what I was trying to think of. VFW, joined it.
Is there a particular reason that you wanted to join the organization?
Well, I wanted to keep up with the military and thought maybe eventually sometime I'd get to run into some of the people I was in the service with.
How have you liked it?
Oh, I liked it. I used to be here. I was adjutant here at this post for right some a while.
Okay. Do you ever go to any reunions or anything like that?
I've never found out any we ever had. I don't know. I would like to go so I could maybe see some of my old friends, but I've never found out any that they've ever had that, you know, I was with.
How did your service and experiences overseas affect your life?
That's a good question.
It's a little bit much to hit somebody with right off, isn't it?
It sort of bothered me a lot. That's one thing that still bothers me.
These are for later years. I'm not sure how many of these we want to necessarily get into, but do you feel like it's important for students to, you know, study the history and, you know, learn about all of this?
Yeah, I think so. I think you should. And I think every person that finishes high school should spend at least a year in the military.
Okay.
It would teach them quite a bit and sort of cool some of them down.
Okay. What would you say has changed in the sense of community over the last 60 years? As far as, in other words, are we still each other's, you know, our brother's keepers?
Well, I don't think it's been all that much. Not a whole lot.
Okay. Let's see. Well, Well, if you could, we're pretty much towards the end of these, but you know, we're not bound to these by any means. If you could share a piece of wisdom with coming generations, what would it be and why?
Well, I think they all try, every one of them try, should try to get them a vacation, I mean, education. And I think, like I said before, they should spend at least 1 year in the military. I think it would teach them a lot.
What do you think people, you know, kids would learn in the military?
Well, they learn to take care of business, take care of themselves, take care of their friends, and learn what the military has gone through before.
Okay. Well, is there anything you'd like to add that we've not talked about, or that you want to say about your experience?
Well, my wife told me not to tell this, but we were on 10 in, and we were advancing forward, and we were hugging that old tank so we couldn't get hit to whoever sniper fire. And this old woman come out of the hole over here with a club, and she started beating this old boy. Oh, she was beating him half to death. He said, "I don't want to have to kill this woman." And finally, he just backhanded her like that. She went backwards and down she went, and back in that hole she went. And we found out later that we was going through a sweet potato patch turning it up.
Did you have, was that pretty unusual for that kind of thing? Or did you?
Yeah, the civilians never did bother us. In fact, they were really tickled that we were there because the Japanese had treated them so bad and unmerciful sometimes. And they were glad, of course. There's a lot of civilians got killed. You can't help it when you're shelling and throwing mortars in them. There's bound to be some of them killed. And it's a bad thing. They have to do that. See little kids killed and women, but it had to go with it.
Is that normally how it worked as far as the invasion fighting, like you would try to follow behind the tank, sort of?
Oh, I did that day, yeah. I mean, it'll keep a man from front of you from hitting you with a rifle. And we were following that tank up through there, and of course he was turning his potato patch. But anyway, that's what we usually did if we could. Of course, there wasn't enough tanks for everybody to get behind, but you enjoyed getting it behind it when you could.
Okay. As far as what did the civilians do then once you won? I mean,
they would run back to us and surrender real quick. I mean, even during the war, during the fighting, they would sneak out and surrender, especially at night. And I tell you what, there was a lot of men. You'd give them a knife, and at night they'd go out and slaughter a lot of Japs. They hated those Japs.
So the civilians would do that? If you
yeah. Yeah, they would. But, of course, they, like I said, they had treated the civilians so mean and so rough and didn't feed them too good. And what they had is mostly what they raised. That's the reason that lady was out there.
So the reason the civilians wanted to surrender, did you all take them off the island then?
No, they built a big compound over there and enclosed it with wire and put them in there so the Japs couldn't get to them. And then after we was leaving there, they turned them loose, and they fed them good and took care of them. And I think it did a lot of stuff for them, you know, helped build them their houses and things, because we destroyed about every house on those islands. Had to, because the Japs were in there.
Did the Japanese ever try to attack that compound where you had
the... No, I can't remember any time that they ever tried that. Of course, they had it way down from where the fighting was still continuing. They brought it down close to the beach so that they couldn't... we could knock them off before they got to them.
Okay. All right, well, anything else that you want to talk about?
No, I can't think of anything except I was one lucky bird.
Well, in that case... case, I'll get you to sign that release form we talked about earlier. And,
okay.
I'll just go ahead and turn this off. And thank you very much for talking to me.
Oh, glad to.